The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you aware that Remy Ma says that she's 35 instead of 43 because she says prison doesn't count and neither does COVID? That's what I read as I was sitting in this chair to come and record this with you, that from people.com's Instagram.
Ooh, all right. So if she's counting 3 years for COVID then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means she was in jail for 5 years. Do we know why was she in jail? Because I honestly don't remember.
Something.
I'm not Googling it because
being
I'm
in a gang.
Already...
I don't know, something like that.
No, I'm not even Googling it because I already have so much respect for her for having the audacity to say that in public that I don't want to know she did a stupid crime.
No, she was like in, like, it was like, I think she like stabbed someone. Like, it was bad. Like, it was bad. It wasn't like, oh, she like ran a red light. Like, it was like, I think, violent. Wait, let's find out now. So I'm not trashing her and not know. Jail. Remy Ma jail. Okay, legal issues. Oh, yeah. She turned herself into New York City police in relation to a shooting early in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was bad.
All right, well.
But she's 35, so what age do you want to be?
Hopefully she'll do better with the new math she's developed that she did with whatever the fuck happened when she was 35. I love a good public age revision.
And, like, just delusion. I love it.
Speaking of that.
Speaking of people trying to look younger than they are.
Oh!
A shockwave was sent throughout the entire world.
Seismic.
When a Variety article told us that Kim Cattrall is returning as Samantha Jones, PR, on And Just Like That.
Did not see that coming. I swear I did not see it coming. I was just shocked.
I mean,
shocked, and though, you know, And Just Like That, she needed to pay bills, obviously.
Yes, she needs work. And although everyone's like, she's on How I Met Your Father, and I'm like, they can't be paying her bills, but maybe
they
are.
Well, she has a series dropping on Netflix the same day that And Just Like That premieres.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. Called what?
Christopher. It's called Glamorous. And she's sort of like a Miranda Priestly of makeup type character.
It's a very queer cast. Day.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's competing. It's also on a different, I guess everything
it's
is competing.
It's not a coincidence.
I don't think it's designed.
It's not
no, it's not a coincidence. I mean, she's getting more free press from the cameo than she is. I mean, you didn't even know through all this coverage that she was going to be on this Netflix show. So it's worked. Now another person's going to be watching it because I just told you, and probably the 4.2 million weekly listeners that are Fixing Famous People will now watch it.
Okay, so the question is, like, how much money is she being paid to do this? She's doing one, for those of you who literally live under a rock, she's showing up for one scene where she's alone and she's going to be on a phone call and no one else in the cast is going to be on set with her that day. How much money is she making on this?
I would say for the scene, she's probably getting $500,000. That would
you
be my
think
actual
that's
guess.
It?
I do. I really do, because I think that she probably would do it for 500 grand knowing that they couldn't come back to season three without her. And I think that's where she's going to make her killing. I think what's even you'll believe that she's being overpaid when I tell you that it is just her in a car on the phone, but she's not talking to anyone. She's just playing Candy Crush on the phone. Now is 500 grand too much money?
Oh my God. Like,
how much do you think she's being paid?
I think like $5 million.
Come
on. Am I insane? I'm insane. I'm insane, right?
I think that's insane for
this
what?
This is her bargain. Yes. This is her bargaining chip, though. I thought we were three seasons away from this, is what I thought. I thought we were three seasons away from her doing this. I thought it was going to take like everyone in the country to just show up at her house and like lay on the ground and beg her.
Well, I'll tell you what, if And Just Like That was as universally beloved as Sex and the City, you probably never would have seen her. I mean, I think that it was a lot of people loved it, but it was pretty polarizing. A lot of people hated it.
We went through it. We went through it with the show. Did we not?
Oh, for sure. And it was enough like Sex and the City to me that I just felt like I was watching Sex and the City. I didn't react as negatively to Che as much as the rest of the world did, or to what the story was. I felt like I was just watching an extension of Sex and the City. I really did. I mean, you miss her. You miss Kim Cattrall's energy. I think if it felt different, it was strictly because she wasn't there. You know, it was a car with three wheels. Like, it still runs.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, well, hence, I mean, it took three new characters to like hold the one wheel that was Samantha.
Right. So now we have, not only do we have Kim Cattrall back for probably what's going to amount to 12 seconds, but we also have Miranda finally going back to being redheaded, which I found so distracting last season that she just went white. It bothered me.
This is the thing, is like the first season, I rewatched it with my younger cousins who like had never seen it, and they came to visit New York and we watched it in like 2 days. And when you rewatch it now, you're like, oh my God, this is so preachy and so PC and like so like trying so hard to do like the Lord's work for every community of every person alive. And it's very like, and because it is that, it like doesn't work and it's like not doing any of those things.
Right.
And so like watching it back, you're like, oh God, wow, this was really bad. And then at the end, you're then like, I can't wait for season two.
Like, but you want like more once of it.
Now that they've gone through it all and you've established the characters and you see the thing and you see the this and they don't have to be like preaching to you every freaking 5 seconds and this and that and this and that. Like, I'm like, oh, now it's the six ladies. Like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know,
it was good. It had the tone. It still had the tone that the old show meant a lot to so many people. I remember I was living in Chicago at the time and very much missing my two best friends who still lived in New York. And we both at the same time watched the season four cliffhanger when they're having a barbecue on the roof and Kim Cattrall is in that little Daisy Duke outfit and they're playing Above the Clouds by Amber, which my friends and I used to dance to at the Roxy. And the three of us just called each other instantly and started crying. And I moved back to New York like 90 days later.
Kim Cattrall, like,
she changed my life.
She moved you to
move to LA first. I can't remember, but we did cry on the phone.
Okay.
And I was back at least within 1 to 5 years No, I was back pretty quickly. I might have swung by LA first.
Got it.
But yeah, the show meant a lot to a lot of people. So like the opinions, the negative opinions about it were quite vicious.
Well, it was funny because it was, I was like, my cousins were like, no, we never saw it. And I was like, and we were like, but you didn't see about like this, the big thing that happens in episode one, wink, wink. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like,
God,
the entire world was on fire when that episode aired. Like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? I was like, the stock market was affected. World.
Well, see, I was in my, I was like 30 when my late 20s, early 30s, when the other show aired. Maybe your younger cousins really don't give a shit. Maybe they're not in the algorithm that would even talk about it. I mean, these women, they're older than the Golden Girls were when the Golden Girls started now. Yes. I mean, that's established, right?
Well, they're Gen Z, and also, like, it's a show made for, like, us. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a show made for, like, young people to watch. It's, like, for us who, like, loved the show.
No, it's, like, it's for people, you know, it's for Boniva people. It's for Sally Field and her contempts.
Speaking of people that the show is for, our guest this week, I texted him the article from Variety that says Sex in the City shocker, : Kim Cattrall to return as Samantha Jones with And Just Like That cameo. And he immediately texted our group chat back saying, shaking, quaking, pissing myself, haven't even clicked yet.
Wow. Wow.
And I screenshotted it because, like, how fucking funny is that?
First of all, whenever you and our friend Tom does this as well, when I see a colon written, I don't say colon.
You
I
just say keep butthole.
Moving. I'll say butthole if I'm in the proper company, but if I'm like a stranger, am I weird that I don't do that?
I do it for dramatic effect.
Okay. As long as that's the reason, then I'm.
Oh no, I don't. I wouldn't really.
If you're doing it for gay reasons, then fine. But if you were like addressing the White House, you wouldn't say like Quantumania, : Ant-Man and the Wasp. I said that backwards, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, but it's fine. I just, what's wrong with a good colon?
There's nothing wrong. A good clean colon has never been turned away by anybody.
Dear God.
In our universe.
I mean, we were thrown in shocked by the news, and then I immediately got very excited for the new season, and I'm surprised they kept it under wraps for this long.
The guy that plays Charlotte's husband, I think, did he say something dickish about Kim Cattrall in the press today?
Oh, did he?
He was something like, yeah, her cameo was great because none of us had to be there with her or something like that.
Ah, slam. Wait, really? Right? That's amazing.
His name Remember is
when
Evan
we saw
Handler.
His penis in season one?
Yes.
Which I think was fake, but yeah.
Evan Handler. There is a comedian named Anna Roizman. Do you know who she is?
Yes, I do. I've listened to her sometimes.
Okay. I used to, years ago, I worked with her her boyfriend, Jared. I'm sure he's still in the business. I follow him on Insta. But she does an impersonation of Steve
from Sex and the City. I watch it. When she goes, Miranda?
Miranda? Like, I don't even want to do it because I feel like it would be belittling her genius.
No, and she did like a compilation of all of them one time, and it was so funny.
She is so talented, and it is like the most utterly ridiculous person to do an impersonation of, and it is so good. It is so, so good.
And speaking of people doing comedy shows and Pride, why don't you tell us now that people
Chris,
have...
I'm so surprised. I wasn't anticipating to further promote my own show. I will be performing my Pride show at the Cutting Room in New York City on June 16th and June 22nd. The name of the show is Surprising No One, : An unnecessarily dramatic coming out story from somebody everyone already knew was gay. Spoiler alert. I am the somebody. I am the gay so of the story. Stupid. I talk about my wives, multiple.
I'm still reeling from that news.
I can't wait to tell the world. Oh, my dalliance with a sitcom star. I'm surprised that you haven't tried to guess who the sitcom star was.
I didn't know this. You just told me the first time right now. Who was it?
It was a small dalliance with an 80s sitcom star.
Will you tell me if I guess it?
I will tell you if you're on the right track.
Do you say who it is on the show?
I do say who it is.
Oh, okay. Then I want to just wait. No, I want to be. I want to wait, and I want to be blown away by it.
It was Rue McClanahan.
Stop. Oh, it's a woman?
No!
Oh, thank God. Okay.
It was a man.
Okay.
Oh, I turned into Rue McClanahan.
Well, you did. Yes, you did.
I also talk about my shocking encounter with a legend's son, with someone I saw at an ill-reputable establishment that I visited in the late 1990s.
Dear God.
That one, I'm not sure if I can say. I don't know. My attorney says I shouldn't say his name, which means I'm probably going to say it because I'd rather have the publicity of a lawsuit, even if I end up poor.
I have a story for you. I completely forgot about this. Are you ready for this?
Oh, tell me.
Yeah. I was with someone who was at the Rosie O'Donnell show when Cher and Celine Dion were both there. And Cher was in her dressing room getting ready for to go on to the Rosie O'Donnell show. And Celine Dion comes into her dressing room. And her hello to Cher was her just singing one of Cher's songs a cappella to Cher and bowing down to her. How on earth did I say that until minute like 10, 15?
Oh my God. Wait, what did Cher?
I don't know what the song was.
Like, I think that's a bit much.
And Cher was like laughing and dying and like loved it and like thought it was funny. And that was, and then this person that told me the story was just like in the room with the two of them, like watching this happen.
That's genius.
If that's not me and you in a story, I don't know what is.
Only if you and I are in the Cher and Celine roles.
That's what I'm saying. Like you're Cher and I'm Celine.
Yep.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So our guest today is a dear and old friend of both Chris and I. He has affected your lives in ways you're not even aware of, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is because he is the executive producer of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. So, yeah, the happiness in your life was brought to you by this person. He is also the writer and creator of the Roku and YouTube series, Lo, The New Adventures of Ultimate Man's Ex-Girlfriend, which happens to feature in some very pivotal supporting roles, both Chris DeRosa and Dominic Pupa. He is a reality television legend and veteran and just the greatest friend and guy. Mr. Tom Chacho is with us today. Hi, Tom.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here again, but also for the first time.
Yes.
That's right. No one yet knows what you're talking about. But they will.
They will.
They definitely will.
I know. I'm very into the time loop of it all.
Now, Tom is also here because he is what would be a non-insulting, all adoration word to use for someone who is a Marvel expert or comic.
I mean, I think I'm like I'm a comic book lifer.
Okay,
like
yes,
I've been reading monthly comics since I was 8 years old. You can do the math on what that is. Mm-hmm. I've been reading Marvel comics that whole time. I bought comic books today. I will buy comic books tomorrow. I wake up early to read them. They're usually what I read when I go to bed. So if I'm not dealing with housewives, I'm usually dealing with superheroes.
This is not a person who's like, I've seen Iron Man 3, and so I'm a Marvel fan. Like, that's not right. What that's not who's in front of us today. This is,
well, if you look behind me, I know it's not a visual medium, but that is just the X-Men shelf.
It's a shelf full of literal figurines, comic books, other paraphernalia that all are X-Men. Yeah, this, yeah.
And then there's the DC shelf and the Marvel shelf, the indie shelf.
Do the twain ever meet in your interior design?
Well, I like to have a certain amount of like order to where things go, you know. Although, like, you know, Avengers versus X-Men is allowed to be in the X-Men shelf.
Okay. Bobby. I also want to just back up 1 minute, by the way, because you said that your life is surrounded by either housewives or superheroes. I would just like to remind both you and our audience that the housewives are actually superheroes. And I don't
know. They are. And I actually think that growing up reading comic books is why I'm so good at tracking housewives story, because like the same chunk of my brain that knows when the X-Men fought Magneto is the same chunk of my brain that knows when Sheree shifted Kim's wig. Like, it exists in the same part of my mind.
It's time for us to fix Marvel.
And we must say, you know, we do reach out. We reach out to the listeners and say, who do you want us to fix? And Marvel was not, I believe, just one vote. There were several people, especially recently, who have said it's time to fix Marvel. Tom, what are your, do you think it needs fixing, first of all?
Well, I am, you know, I have a little bit of like Stockholm syndrome with Marvel post Endgame, where I was making a lot of excuses for Marvel with like some not so great movies and some not so great TV. And, you know, even when you had asked originally, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if now's the time. But then I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp : Quantumania. And I was like, I'm concerned. And I'm the most concerned I've been in a long time. You know, it's sort of like when you are a victim of abuse and you don't necessarily realize you have been victimized, but then all of a sudden you look back and you're like, oh my God.
The signs were there.
This guy has been gaslighting me for 30 films and 6 television projects.
Couldn't Ant-Man and the Wasp : Quantumania, by the way, every time someone says the word colon as a punctuation, I don't hear anything but butthole. You might as well have said Ant-Man and the Wasp, butthole, Quantumania. We're now adding that to the Fixing Famous People glossary, which is, of course, led by Clitorally. But for Ant-Man, couldn't it have just been a bum day or a bum director? Could it? Why has this movie made people think that everything about Marvel needs to be overhauled?
Well, I think it was the issue with what's happening there writ large. Like, it was sort of, because I think there have been problems with certain projects, and there are a lot of things I've really loved post-Endgame. Like, I don't think it's all terrible, but Quantumania was like this confluence of the CGI is not there. Like, it's not a pleasing movie to look at.
Okay.
And
which
so
is
much
upsetting
of this,
because like they're known for like the CGI being great because they put so much money into the films, correct?
Yeah, correct. And it's a combination of it looked bad, the story didn't make a ton of sense, and it felt like it was setting up, it was more interested in setting up the next thing than being the thing that it is.
It seems to me that there's like an agenda. Like, obviously, we know that there's the phases. Now that they're into, like, oh, we're going to tease you, like, 5 years into the future of, like, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We know that's all coming. None of it's a surprise anymore. Whereas, like, at the beginning, I don't think we knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. And so I think now that we're, like, in our second, like, generation of this whole, movie behemoth, it's it's so obvious that every movie is setting up the next movie to get us to here, to get us to there, to allow that this is going to be good enough to then see that this is going to be here, to then see that this is going to be there. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well,
Wakanda Forever was like, in theory, really just a vehicle to set us up to like have the young Avengers start to come together. Right. Correct.
I actually think that Wakanda Forever is one of the better films, if not the best post-Endgame film. Like, I would say it's probably... You didn't like it, Dom?
I loved it, but I'm afraid Chris is going to explode because I think that he
it. No, it was fine. It was good, but like, I don't know. It was very long.
It was
very like, okay, we're setting up this person that's gonna be, you know, it was a lot of backstory of a villain. It was a lot of backstory of another character that we've never seen before. It was a lot. I mean, they had their problems because I'm assuming that they had the movie halfway written and then the main character actor died and then they had to completely pivot the movie. Correct.
I heard you say that Halle Berry's Catwoman was actually a better film than Wakanda.
Don't you dare.
I do feel like Catwoman is due for a critical reappraisal, though. But I do think Wakanda Forever does sort of reveal some of the problems because, you know, you have this tragedy where your star dies, but the most amount of time they spend in pre-production on these things is like previs and character design and set building, and they were just able to be like, let's write a whole new story with all of these toys. And I think they did it very effectively because I was very into and moved by it, and I understand I am coming at it differently because I have a relationship with the source material, so I'm really excited to see Shuri become Black Panther. I was really excited for Namor to join the MCU. So it was hitting a lot of the right buttons for me.
And honestly, I think it's not for nothing. It's kind of like too much to watch. Would you agree with this?
I mean, no. Believe it or not, have finally. No, I've reached my saturation point because I was someone who was like, I watch all of the CW shows. I watch all of the Marvel shows. I watch all of the movies, and I still keep up with all of the Marvel movies. But even in the last 5 years, it's reached a point where I'm like, I can't finish Punisher. I can't finish the Inhumans. And I'm someone who like watched all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
How many other people can say that?
Just the other two who did, I would imagine, right?
Silence. Yeah. Deafening silence.
But you know what I feel like?
I have one friend that watched
every episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Marvel now that they're so... It's sort of like RuPaul's Drag Race, where every time another iteration comes out, everyone just says, this is it. It's over. We're not doing it anymore. And then it just breaks records and it just keeps going and going and going. And up until I personally do not, well, I shouldn't say never, but when it comes to Drag Race, I don't see a lowering of the quality very often. I feel like they remain the same. But with Marvel, I feel like that's not the case. Again, only recently, and this has only come to my attention that people have a problem with it because of the most recent Ant-Man. That's really it.
Well, because the recent Ant-Man was all of the complaints, because people have complained about the last Thor movie. People have complained about a lot of the TV shows. People have complained about the last Doctor Strange, and Quantumania was every problem the last phase had had in one movie.
Do you think that people had a problem, a believability problem with Ant-Man because no one believes someone who looks like Michelle Pfeiffer would ever fuck Michael Douglas because he's a bag of bones? Multiverse, CGI, you're an ant, you're a wasp, I don't care. But Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas, abso-fucking-lutely not.
The fact that both of them are in those movies is insane to me. Like, is that wrong?
No, it is insane. Well, but it's also just like, but like Helen Mirren is in The Fast and the Furious. Like, everybody needs a check.
Charlize.
You know?
Yes.
Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Brie
yes.
Larson is in the
She's in the whole... Brie Larson's in the new Fast and Furious?
Brie Larson is in the new one.
Oh, Jesus Christ. When will they stop? Wait, don't you love that they were like, this is the last movie, and then they were like, but it's going to be three movies.
Do either of you watch them? Because there's nothing that gives me more joy than a Fast and Furious movie.
That is one of the few movies I go see them in the theater for real. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're so, you wouldn't think they'd be my type of movie, but I love those movies.
Here's why it's your type of movie. Because I watched them all over the pandemic because we eventually ran out of television. Mm-hmm. And then we watched all of the Fast and the Furiouses and then saw the first new one. It was like our first movie in the theater. So it's like very important to, you know, being at home and then getting out of the home.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
But the reason you like it is it is a soap opera for heterosexual men.
Yes, it is.
Because it is like, you know, Michelle Rodriguez is dead and then she's not. She has amnesia and then she doesn't have amnesia. Like Vin Diesel has how many secret brothers and family members? Like it's very Days of Our Lives with cars.
Sure.
And I think that is why, you know, both straight and gay men can appreciate those films.
Well, I'm also a narcissist and the lead character's name is Dom. So that's probably Dom, why I just like hearing it screamed from a movie screen.
Okay, have any of you guys ever seen Vin Diesel doing karaoke in his own house on YouTube singing Stay by Rihanna?
You're bringing my whole world to a standstill right now because I know I'm going
to
be...
We might have to log off and come back.
We might have to log off and come back. Wait, we might
have to work tomorrow.
I'm going to send you both afterwards. And also, I will link it in the show notes of this
episode.
But it is one of the best things I've ever seen in my whole life. And you will never, ever, ever like have a sad day ever again because you can just throw on that or many other songs that he has up on YouTube where he's singing into a karaoke machine for no reason at all.
But is he unironically?
I think he's serious about it.
Oh, God. Okay.
I love him, by the way.
No, I feel like he's deeply earnest. Like, I feel like he's never kidding.
No, he's, correct.
I'm looking at a layout of
like, he's about family.
No, he's like, singing Stay. Like, he wants you to stay. Like, he's really singing those lyrics to whoever. Yeah.
I'm looking at a breakdown of the phases, as it were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the purity of that first phase, which begins with Iron Man and ends with the Avengers, it seems so
long ago because it's like 10 plus years ago.
No, it was 2000
started in 2008. Well, 15 now. Iron Man came out in 2008.
A lot of it, I feel now, is like we're doing this just to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like we're doing She-Hulk so that we can say that we did She-Hulk and we did like a procedural comedy. Do you know what I mean?
I liked She-Hulk.
I did too.
Well, that was something that had its own point. The silly stuff, though, was like all of the Hulk stuff it set up that we're like, well, where is this going to go?
Yes. And like even just it just turned into like, I don't know. I just feel like so much of it turned into like we're doing this because we're doing it because you're waiting for the next movie. So we're doing this show so that we can have this character be in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's like it's just very building on itself. And the fact that you've now given us the blueprint of what you are doing, it's so obvious. I think that is kind of, there's like zero mystery to it anymore, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I already have issues understanding the multiverse, if I'm being completely honest. And so
I think Marvel has problems understanding the multiverse, which is part of the problem.
That is part of the problem.
Because I'm like, what are the rules here?
Well, that's the thing is like everyone can die. Now it's like everyone can die a million times. Everyone can get hit by a bus. Everyone can get beheaded.
I feel like there were moments in this journey, in this Marvel journey, where they turned a casual viewer or casual fan like myself into an actual fan where I could follow along the movies. And I'm trying to pinpoint at what point it all fell apart. I'm going to assume it's after Endgame, which isn't that long ago. It then started to feel a little bit like work. I mean, it started to feel like I had to watch once they started introducing the television element and that we were dipping in and out of the timeline that way, I sort of unintentionally gave up. You know, that happened a little bit to me with The Mandalorian as well, which I'm trying to correct, and that's a separate podcast. But it's sort of when all the TV shows started coming out, and I felt like if I didn't go in order with everything bouncing between the movies and the TV shows, that I was going to miss out, and I just lost interest after that, really, like as far as keeping up with everything.
It was homework. I felt like I had homework.
Right.
And it was like, we needed to watch Moon Knight every, which was good. But I was like, what is the point of this? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was
Well, I think the issue is that they've made you feel like everything has to have a point in a larger narrative. And when it doesn't, you feel dissatisfied. And like, there's less of a focus on making it feel like it's pure individual story. Mm-hmm. Because none of them have felt like their own little story.
But then when they do make it their own little story, you're then like, well, why did I just watch all of this if it's not going to tie into the... You know what I mean? They're kind of like, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. Because if it's its own thing, I'm like, well, what the fuck does this have anything to do with anything? I need to be watching stuff that's teaching me what the next movie's about. And then if it's too overtly like setting something up, then I'm like, well, this is just a setup for this. Like, they've kind of made us like, I don't know. I feel like I'm like, no matter what, I'm like upset.
Mm-hmm. And you just said something too, that's another problem for Marvel retaining a casual fan, is that there have always been two levels of fandom. There's the Tom level, and then there's the Dominic level. And so when I hear that, in the comics, this did blah, blah, blah. Like, it feels every time they go away from what was in the comics, the Tom level fans make such a stink out of it that I sort of go into these movies feeling prejudiced, like I'm not seeing the real deal because they changed everything. And I'm feeling like I'm being gypped because they didn't go along with what was in the original source material.
Well, I think it's like any good adaptation for me is like, if it would be cool in the comics, like I'm cool to see that change on screen, because the changes don't always bother me. Because I feel like, for example, like Captain Marvel is probably a movie with some of the biggest changes, but gets the core of the character and her origin right, that I think it's a really good movie.
Okay, before we go to our pitches, speaking of movies, Tom, you have something you need to tell Dominic that I told you not to tell him until we were here.
Is this going to end our friendship?
No, you're going to pass out is what's going to happen.
All right. I'll make sure I'm seated. Go ahead.
Yeah, be ready.
Two nights ago, I was at the Taylor Swift Eras Tour in Philadelphia.
Do you want to ask you about?
Okay. Wait, hold on. I need to Stop. I need to be recording this on my phone. Sorry.
Aren't we recording on the internet?
No, we're not.
Because he wants video.
I need video. Okay, continue.
Okay. So I was on the floor, and right behind me was the VIP section, and people were screaming every time the VIPs entered.
Don't do this.
And
the key
VIPs in my section were...
Don't do this.
And I should list them all, right, Chris? And just build.
Yeah, but save the biggest one for last. You know who I am.
I'm already lightheaded, by the way, because I don't know what's coming, but you're making a big deal out of it.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay, who I like very much.
Keith Urban.
Are you sure that wasn't Meg Ryan?
same wig, but okay. It wasn't Meg Ryan. And Keith Urban's wife, Nicole Kidman.
First of all, I bet that's the first time in recorded history that anyone has ever just referred to her as Keith Urban's wife.
I would never say that, but I wanted to build to it.
By the way, I mean, but of all, and in Philadelphia, was that the only place they could get tickets? Like, what the fuck are they doing here?
It might be. Well,
how was the concert, by the way?
Dominic, please know that he was sending us photos, and I said, you cannot tell Dominic about this. Like, you must wait. Like, sending, threatening text messages to him saying, like, you will not say this.
This is what would have happened. If you had defied Chris and texted me, I would have gone
driven to there
Amtrak and just been, I would have been there before the end of it.
I'll send you the photos when we finish.
I am so jealous. Is it true, as I heard that Taylor on this tour, at the beginning of every tour stop, she immediately starts dating someone in the audience, then breaks up with them in hour three, writes a hateful song about them, so the crowd will beat him on the way to the parking lot? Is that true? Did it happen?
That's not true. I think she just wants to continue to, you know, fuel the hate mob that she's directed at Jake Gyllenhaal and John Mayer.
I can't.
Is what it feels like.
What about it's already directed at poor Matt Healy? He's been on the scene for like 30
seconds. I know, and there's
he hasn't gotten a second base with her yet.
Still maybe together. We don't know. But there were people in like fuck Jake Gyllenhaal t-shirts. Like there was merch, like self-made merch about them. And I think we also need to be prepared for the way everyone is going to hate John Mayer again when she re-releases Speak Now in July.
Oh, God. Poor John
I'm ready Mayer. For it. He's a piece of shit, so.
Jake Gyllenhaal also has never done anything wrong in his entire life, as far as I'm concerned. So I think that it's very unfair that she has turned all of these people against all of these other seemingly nice people, although John Mayer is a little bit of a D-bag, but he's a very talented musician.
I know, but I mean, if you listen to the 10-minute version of All Too Well, you feel like Taylor has some points.
That is so much time for one song. I'll never do it. I will only listen to a shortened 2-minute version of it.
Dear God. All right, I think it's time to get to the pitches.
It is.
You're a hard. This is a hard critic we're about to pitch to. This is probably the hardest pitch that we've had to do yet. Do you agree with this, Dominic?
I absolutely agree with it because I know I'm going to say something in my pitch that's going to go against canon, his encyclopedia. He's going to tell me why it can't work, and I'm probably going to log off. So just so we're all okay. I'm definitely storming off this one. But Chris, go ahead.
Okay, my pitch. Marvel is going to, at the beginning of every movie and or TV show, now have a, here's what you need to know to be caught up to be able to watch this TV show if you're out of like the loop. And it's going to be told by the characters in the shows. So it's like, if it's talking about like Captain Marvel, like Brie Larson as Carol Danvers, aka Captain Marvel, is there looking straight into the camera, explaining to you what she did in the last Captain Marvel movie to get you up to speed for the Marvels. And then Ms. Marvel is next, is like, you know, comes in, and then the her friend's daughter who was in WandaVision is then there, and they're all explaining how they got to where they are. And that's like, you're literally getting like a, here's what you need to know to watch this movie. And that could be 10 minutes, that could be 20 minutes, like it could be 2 minutes, however much long you need, you're getting that at the end, beginning of every TV show and movie. Because I can't do this anymore. I can't do the homework. I can't do, it's too much. Go ahead.
Can I ask questions?
You can, you may, but.
This is where it's, I'm, my blood's
it's
already
coming down on me already. Go ahead. You hate this.
As soon as you started, I was like, is Chris going to pitch a pre-Von to Marvel movies? Like, is he on a previously on? Is he going to, that's what you missed on Glee, these films? Yes. I don't think you're wrong, but I don't know. It sounds band-aidy. Let's
The other thing they're going to do
it
is
sounds band-aidy. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I'm skipping right over that. I need a band-aid after that. The other thing they're going to do is like, because of all these like movies that they've now bought the rights to and all this shit, they're not going to cast new characters. They're going to just pony up to all of the people that were in the original X-Men and the original Fantastic Four, whichever iteration we pick to be the one that's the original for them. And like, we're not doing origin movies for all of the, you know, we'll do a Fantastic Four movie if we have to. But like, we're keeping the X-Men as they are. We're like re-releasing X-Men 1 through whatever in the theaters so people can watch them. And Hugh Jackman's coming back as Wolverine. Like, I can't do this. I can't do three more. He hates it. X-Men movies.
Well, they're like sort of half-seas doing that.
Oh, they are. I don't know, but and that's what we're doing. And then literally, like the clitorally.
Thank
me.
You, God.
Literally, we're just throwing those characters that we already know right into the MCU. Like, I can't do, like, we're not doing the heavy lifting there, and people are going to be titillated. And that is my pitch.
Okay.
Disappointment.
I wish we did have video available for this so everyone could see
Tom's face.
Tom is literally just sitting there like Professor X, looking very disapprovingly at
Miranda Priestley. Miranda
Priestley. Like, I was like, I caught myself pursing my lips, and I was like,
no. The scene where they were there, where Stanley Tucci is explaining, like, when she goes and sees clothing, she'll say, or she'll go, or like say, or she'll purse her lips, which is like the worst thing that could ever happen. And like designers will just basically kill themselves afterwards. He did exactly that face of the pursing of the lips at the end of my pitch.
All right. Well, my pitch is sort of an amalgamation of many things I've been thinking of and hearing this week. I grew up with Star Wars, and Star Wars, part of the appeal of Star Wars was that everyone in the cast was unknown and became stars from being in it. It made it just feel more, it just made it feel more wholesome and somehow realer, you know, in a genre that's not known for being real. So I sort of want Marvel to get back to that. And I know I don't want to have to sit here and watch all of these people sort of like dip in and out of these movies about, you know, who's going to leave first, you know, like someone's going to have to get swapped out because they're going to get too old or they're going to get too bloated or something's going to happen, or maybe they'll pass away in real life and they're going to have to swap everyone out at once, right? Because they're getting the Michelle Pfeiffer in Ant-Man and Wasp was where I'm just like, I'm seeing a shark fin pop up as far as my interest in Marvel. And I am a lifelong fan of the brilliant and beautiful Michelle Pfeiffer. But if it's getting this stunty, let's just go overboard on the stunt part while also saying we're done with the stunts and we're going to start this fresh for everybody. I am inspired by news that The Bachelor is doing something called The Golden Bachelor this fall, where everyone's going to be 60 plus on The Bachelor. So my limited knowledge of the multiverse being what it is, what I think we need to do is get rid of everyone in the Marvel universe now, age all of their characters by 40 years, and have them in the multiverse full stunt casting for the whole Marvel universe. We've gone ahead 40 years and they're going to hand the torch over to a generation of complete unknowns who will take this from the ages of 18 up to 40. Let's do a 20-year span while they're all viable as movie stars. I am talking about Diane Keaton as Black Widow. This is what I'm talking about.
Oh my God.
I am talking about Clint Eastwood as Thor. I am talking about Gene Hackman as Ant-Man. I want to go full. I want to pull these Hollywood legends out of mothballs to say goodbye to the most successful franchise in cinema history. Let's just go out with a million bangs and then we can just start fresh and meet new celebrities, just like we did with the kids, you know, in Harry Potter. Storm from X-Men, James Earl Jones. I'm not kidding about any of this. I'm not kidding about any of this. Now, Professor X is not the only one in a wheelchair in my version of saying goodbye to, like, they all need to be. Everyone's in a wheelchair now. Everyone's in a wheelchair. Captain America, Tony Bennett. I'm not joking. Let's do this.
Dominic.
Nick Fury, Judi Dench. Let's do it. We'll switch genders.
I knew she was coming.
Wait, do I always default to Judi Dench?
You reference her in almost every single episode of this podcast.
Well, I like Judi Dench as Nick Fury because what it says about the multiverse with her role in James Bond.
It is actually very fitting. It's a very fitting role for her. Yeah. Dear God.
I'm looking. Doctor Strange, Jane Fonda. Let's do it. Let's switch everyone around. She already is Doctor Strange.
She is Doctor Strange.
Star-Lord, Sophia Loren. Let's just keep it going. Let's switch the gender. Everyone's gender. Let's just switch it.
Did you see Quantumania, Dom? You just know people are mad?
No, I just know people are mad.
Well, it's getting a little bit with what you're talking about, but just so you know, it Michelle Pfeiffer is like the lead, so you should watch it when it's on Disney Plus. She's like, for all intents and purposes, like the protagonist of this movie.
Oh. Uh-oh.
And I do believe she would fuck Michael Douglas, mostly because I would.
Well, that movie, they have to make him like 50 years old and then also like 90 years old. Like, I remember in the last one, like they had to like age him down to be like a 40-year-old dad with like a fetus child. And then also like literally the Crypt Keeper. And I was like, what the fuck is happening in this movie?
Michael Douglas is the only one probably that could continue appearing.
He's just good. Because, he's good to go. Well, because
the Douglases, the Douglases never die. They just don't. They just stick around.
He's the only returning character.
Catherine Zeta-Jones wakes up every morning, looks at him, and goes, "Still, this was not the plan. What's happening?"
Okay, Tom. I want you to. I'm barring you from doing your pitch yet. I think you should pick one of ours, but then obviously you should do your. You should tell us what the actual answer is, so we can then find out.
Or we might refute it.
I'm going to pick, right? I'm going to pick.
You should pick
first, and then I. This is a very difficult decision because I feel like
neither of them are good.
Neither of you are really interested in fixing this problem. which proves that you're real entertainment professionals, because I feel like no one in our business is interested in fixing anything.
You can pick none.
But I think Chris is going to get us where we need to go.
This is my last
not
episode.
Not just because he's pitching things that are actually happening, but
you mean the word for that is cheating. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Chris. Sorry, if Tom has his way, the world will never see Rita Moreno as She-Hulk, which seems to be a cultural travesty to me. But I will shop this pitch elsewhere, I suppose.
This, I will say that this is the first time that I feel that I do not deserve the win that I got. Dominic, you weren't going to pitch this and think that Tom was going to actually pick elderly people playing the characters. I know that you didn't.
I don't know. I mean, I thought maybe I could sway him if I said someone he was a big fan of. Jamie Lee Curtis as Professor X. I don't know. I mean, we have a lot of options here.
A lot of options.
Tom, you know what I'm going to say, right? Because we did an episode about Chris Pratt, and I, you know, when Chris Pratt was under fire for being, well, for any reason, for belonging to a homophobic church, for being voted the world's worst Chris, blah blah, for all of it, divorcing Anna Faris, any of those times, he always gets defended by everyone right away in the MCU. You never see anyone from Parks and Rec or Jurassic World coming to defend him, but it's always like right on cue.
Aubrey Plaza doesn't take any of those bullets.
I believe that the MCU, I believe it is like Scientology. I believe that they clean up your messes. They order everyone to support each other no matter what. And that way they stay innocuous and their nose is clean. Like, I don't know if Ezra Miller were part of the MCU, they might have killed him and just started the movie over and said no one knows where Ezra Miller is, because I don't know how you get out of it.
Yeah. Hashtag where's Ezra?
Where is Ezra? I can't wait to see how they're gonna launch that movie.
I mean, I think you just throw it in the garbage, right? How do you?
Well, no, they can't. How are they? They've already thrown out one movie where Michael Keaton came back to play Batman, because he was Batman in the Batgirl movie that they scrapped. And he's Batman again in the Flash movie. And I'm just like, how much money did you throw at Michael Keaton to get him to put that costume back on again?
But also,
and then throw out the movie.
But that's how they do it, is that they build it up as Michael Keaton is going to be, like, they actually have something really great.
The trailers look like it's a Batman movie.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that they are trying to get Michael Keaton the Angela Bassett supporting Oscar slot. And I think he will probably win, because many people think he should have won for Birdman, which was like his, he won't do anything better than that. It was his magnum opus. But I do think that there is potential for him to sweep in there at awards time and win a bunch of stuff like Angela Bassett did. Let me ask this question. Hawkeye is a that's a television series.
Yeah.
How many episodes is that?
A mini series.
It's 6 episodes, I think.
Oh, yeah. 6? Oh, I can plow right through that. Oh, Tom, thanks so much for being here.
It's New York and Christmas time.
It's New York at Christmas time. Florence Pugh is in it.
I can plow right through it. Am I going to have to say this joke a third time?
Oh, God, we heard.
This is terrible. Tom, thanks for being here and humiliating me 5 times in an hour on the show that has my name in it. Chris, thank you for being here. I will never see you again because you're winning too many of these.
I'm on Tom, a streak.
Can I say one thing about Dominic before we go?
Okay. Yes.
I don't have to include that.
You can say 7 things. I'll run this thing all night long.
I just want to urge everyone to go see Dominic's show in June.
Oh.
And not just because I bullied him to do this show. Which I have been bullying you to do this show for 7 years now. Like since the last time you did this version of the show.
This show, I can say publicly, would not exist had you not pushed me to do it, for sure. There's no doubt.
But the last version of this show that Dominic did is the definition of when the personal becomes universal. You will see Dominic in the show. You will see yourself in this show. You will laugh. You will cry. You will understand the like entirety of a person's experience. And that was when I decided I wanted to be one of his best friends. Because we were friendly, but we were not super close. And I was like, I need to get close to this amazing, hysterical, insightful being. So
thank you so
much. I just want to urge you to see it because I love Dominic and because it's my fault that he's doing it. And I take responsibility for my messes.
You are very kind. You are very kind. I love you, Tom. And I appreciate the encouragement all of these years because this show is truly, it's just been fun to write. It's very, what Tom's referring to is a show I did years ago, an autobiographical show, which was music-free and very straightforward, but the message was sort of universal. And now that I'm a little more seasoned, shall we say. Mm-hmm. We are flaming it on with this new one, with music and take my tits out. It's going to be it's just so much cleavage and so much music. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Very good.
And if you go on the 22nd of June, Tom and I will both be there.
Yeah.
Right? Did you get 22nd tickets?
22nd.
Okay, good. Well, you'll see us. And many other guests from the podcast on the 22nd, actually.
Yeah, a lot of reality TV legends.
Yes.
Oh. All right, well, that's good. That's closing night. There are two nights.
There's an opening and a
closing. It's not opening. It's the closing night.
We'll have to stand on the step and keep repeating. I'm going to keep changing outfits to make it seem like the show ran for
weeks. Yeah.
Every person who comes to a step and repeat gets a new outfit or wig.
Hilarious.
Tom, truly, I love you and I thank you for your support all the time. And
I love you both. I love listening.
Tom, where can people find you?
I am at TomTV, spelt like the Willy Wonka character, on Instagram and Twitter. And watch Real Housewives at 8 o'clock on Sunday at Bravo or next day on Peacock.
Absolutely. Dominic?
You can find me at my website at dominterry.com or on all the socials at Dominic Puba. And as Tom mentioned, I am doing a Pride show at the Cutting Room in New York on June 16th and June 22nd. You can access those tickets through my website or the Cutting Room's website. Chris?
You can find me at The Chris DeRosa. Please like and review the show and let us know in your review who you want us to fix next. I wish you both well and hashtag where's Shelly. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.